Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Psalms. I want to look at two of the Psalms this morning. Psalm 62 and Psalm 63. This is God's Word. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down? This leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Low-born men are but a breath, and high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. In Psalm 63, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. These are Psalms of David. He was a man who knew great blessing and great hardship. He went through difficult times, even after his great victory over Goliath that got him elevated in the eyes of the whole nation. He was on the run from the king slash father-in-law slash employer, Saul, who literally was out to kill him for years. As I recall, it was 8 years that David was a fugitive from Saul. I mean, think about that. Think how old you were 8 years ago. Think about what has transpired in the last 8 years. I know there are a couple of people in here saying, 8 years ago, I didn't exist. But just think back and realize that for that much time, David was running from a murderous, demonized, crazy man who had an army. That's tough. But then that guy dies, and David is made king, so now it's all good. Well, no, not exactly. In his role as king, David continued to have enemies, including, as he describes here, people who would say nice things to his face, but in their heart, they wanted to kill him. David would go through a lot of suffering after he became king. And as you recall, some of it he brought on himself through horrible sin. But even when it wasn't his fault on other occasions, David was still suffering and had people who wanted him dead. So what do you do if you find out that no matter what job you get or what position you attain to or who's being friendly, you still have serious problems? You still have an enemy. What do? Well, try doing what David did. This is the position of all who are in Christ Jesus. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. Do you remember the Galatians? You remember that group? New Testament book of Galatians is written to some people who had professed faith in Christ, and then somebody came along and said, hey, that's not enough. If you really want to be saved, you got to do more. You're going to have to have a surgical procedure, and that'll fix you up. Then you'll be good. The Apostle Paul wrote to them and said, don't you dare do anything in order to try and earn God's salvation. Don't do anything to try and earn what God graciously gives. Let's say I invited you to my house because it was your birthday, and I said, happy birthday, and gave you a gift, and you said, oh my goodness, wow, thank you so much. Let me see, what have I got here? Here, will this cover it? You think I'd say, oh good, I was afraid you wouldn't pay me back. Or would I say, what are you doing? It's a gift. Folks, you can't earn a gift. You can't earn grace. God loves us not because we're lovable, not because we do the right stuff, or even because we try to do the right stuff. God loves us because He has chosen to love us. So in other words, I can just keep on sinning and do all kinds. No. If you believe God loves you, you really believe that about Him. The response is to love God. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. And so our response to God is not what earns us His love. It is a response of love because of his love. And therefore, our confidence for our salvation is in him and what he has done, and in him alone.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and He's holding out His hand. But the waves
are you trusting in Christ alone for your salvation? Or are you thinking, you know, I'm doing my part and hopefully God will make up the difference? We have no hope except in Him. And even David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, expresses that in this psalm. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Verse 5, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Whatever you're going through, whatever happens, however tough it gets, trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Do you ever pour out your heart to God? I did a lot of that last night. Spent a long time just talking with Him, not trying to persuade Him so much as trying to get me in line with what He says. Prayer is not about manipulating God. Prayer is about connecting with God, pouring out our hearts to Him. And that's what the psalmist says we need to do. And he says we need to do it even when we can't sleep. In Psalm 63, verse 6, on my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. What are the watches of the night? Is this somebody with a bunch of watches lined up on the dresser? No. They had people, because enemies were real, they had people who were night watchmen. They were up during the night keeping a lookout, making sure that things were safe, making sure if a fire started, before it got totally out of hand, they'd be the ones to sound the alarm. If an enemy was coming, they'd be the ones to sound the alarm. And so the night was divided into little segments of 3 hours. So you might be on duty from 9 p.m. to midnight. Or you might be on duty from midnight to 3 a.m. Or you might be on duty from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. But those were the watches of the night. And David says sometimes he was awake through the watches of the night. So what do you do if that's happening? He says, I remember you, Lord. I think of you through the watches of the night. Why? Because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. When it's dark, draw close to God. And there in the closeness, even though it's dark, in the shadow of his wing, sing to the Lord. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Now again, this is not some neurotic paranoia on the part of David. They who seek my life will be destroyed. He had real physical enemies who were out to kill him. Some of you have lived through very difficult things. I've only tasted that on a couple of occasions where people literally wanted to do me in. They didn't just want to slander me or say something bad about me. They wanted me dead. It is not a fun thing. I have had to deal with that seldom in my life. I have friends who've had to deal with it on a consistent basis for years. One of the people I greatly admire, who's now in heaven, was a neighbor in Montreat. His name was Billy Graham. He got threats all the time. And the FBI would review the threats and say, we've checked it out, this person's just a nut, don't worry about it, they're not going to bother you. But there was a period of time where the threats became very real from very capable enemies. And the FBI told Dr. Graham, who traveled all over the world preaching the gospel, you need to protect your family. And Dr. Graham had to put a huge fence all around his home. I mean, they fenced all around with a high chain link fence, barbed wire at the top, and an electric current, and trained guard dogs. That seems kind of like overkill. No, it wasn't at all. Dr. Graham's concern was not to protect himself. It was that he might well be away, as he was most of the time, and someone come and harm his family. How do you respond to things like that? Why wouldn't you just give up traveling and preaching? And if that's upsetting so many people that evil people want to kill you, why don't you just say, okay, I'm retiring? Because our refuge is the Lord. I remember one time when a fella showed up at our church there in Montreat, and he said he had a bomb and he needed to see Dr. Graham. Oh, sure, okay. Well, I watched as the various security people came and positioned themselves around where this guy had seated himself, and gradually one worked his way over and took the guy's briefcase and removed it from the building. Dr. Graham, who'd been warned, didn't stay away. He came to church. And after the service was over, he said, I'd like to meet with that man. Because you see, when people are making themselves your enemy, they need help. And so David, in the midst of threats against him, went to the one place that is a sure refuge, and that is the Lord. He says, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Now, Dr. Graham, I know from experience, was very, very gracious to people who were his enemies. His goal was not to hurt them, though he did want to protect his family. David, on the other hand, in the verses that follow here, Psalm 63, 9 and following, David makes it clear that he knows ultimately what's going to happen to those who are his enemies. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. It's not a very happy ending. But David recognized the reality of God's enemies being destroyed. We were once enemies of God, and he mercifully redeemed us. But in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that we also were by nature creatures of wrath. The road that we were on is the road that leads to destruction. And so when David says this, he's simply describing the way things are. Those who are enemies of God and his people are on a road that leads to destruction. And so you may look and see people who hate God and speak against him and do evil things prospering and becoming famous and popular, and it seems like, wow, why is this happening? But they're headed off a cliff. Now let me tell you something, folks. If your security is somewhere other than God, you're headed for destruction. If you think what's going to protect you is this or this or this or this, it doesn't work. Well, Billy Graham put a fence around his house and got guard dogs. Won't that protect us? No, ultimately no, because our worst enemies are not the people with guns and bombs. The worst enemy that we have is spiritual. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this present age and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And you and I need to realize that if we're looking to anything other than God himself, we're looking in the wrong place. Well, is it okay to have like security? Yeah. Is it okay to put up fences? Yeah. But where's your heart putting its trust? Are you depending on the Lord for your security? Are you depending on the Lord for your salvation? Because there is salvation in no one else. Verse 11 of Psalm 63. The king, that's David, will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. So go back to verse 3 and 4 and 5. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Is that what you do when you think about God? Do you sing like we sang this morning? How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? That's what we're saying. God is worthy of praise. Whatever you're going through. My mother's mother spent 14 years essentially bedridden with horrible, painful rheumatoid arthritis. This was eons ago when treatments were not as good as they are now, even though RA is still a painful thing. But there was less available, and they tried everything that modern medicine offered in the first half of the previous century. And she would lie in her bed toward the last few years of her life. She'd lie in her bed, and when the pain was most intense, she would sing worship to the Lord. Not complaining, not turning her pain toward others, but turning her praise toward God. Because whatever you feel and whatever you're going through, God is still worthy. He is worthy of praise.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.waresvalleyrant.org.